shockingly small crowd for a pennant race game.
I agree.
All right, 10 games to go before, hopefully, the start of a playoff run. Huge series coming up here to close out the regular season at home against the Phillies. Just what's the feeling as you enter this final stretch?
I mean, we're ready to go. This is going to be playoff baseball, and Mets fans, we need you guys to fill this place up. This place needs to be rocking on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We need your help. We need everybody to get out here. We need this place full. This is playoff baseball. This is what you guys want. Let's go. Let's go, Mets.
Brandon, you're the best. Thanks, man.
Thank you. Let's go. Let's go.
I mean, it's when City's a vibe and a fun place to play, like, we totally feed off that in a really good way. So, like, we only have, I think, what, three games left here. And, I mean, I'm doubling down. Like, I mean, come on, guys, come on out. Help create that environment that we love to play in. And it's, right now, especially with the way we're playing and we're coming down the home stretch, I mean, it's just something that you dream about in the off season. Like, man, like, I want to be in that position. We all worked really hard to be in this position, and to have that feedback and energy from the fans, like, we need that. And the more positive energy and the more people that are creating that hostile environment for the road team, I think that just helps us play better. It's infectious.
Yeah, no, I mean, it was great energy tonight. Playoff type atmosphere. Very thankful for that. We need more of it as we go down this stretch and into this weekend. But, you know, we fed off of it. Felt like playoff atmosphere, felt like a playoff game. To us, it is. I mean, you know, these games are, we're all trying to win every single one of them. And these guys are very fired up for, you know, making this push here at the end. And all the other teams are playing well also. So it makes every game even more important. So great atmosphere, great energy tonight. And the guys responded really, really well.
Yeah, I mean, and look, having the fans behind us, the atmosphere today was incredible. You know, really good crowd. They were into it from the very beginning. You know, first inning, we hit a couple of homers, and we feel it in the dugout. So, yeah, I think it's us playing well, getting results, having fun, pushing each other, and then, you know, the fans supporting the team. So we believe, they believe, and it's fun right now.
All right, we're back. So I'd be remiss if I didn't talk about the fans and Citi Field and attendance as part of this whole thing going into the final week. And I don't know. Obviously, the Mets are not going to have a home game in the postseason unless they go to the division series. And at that point, they'll probably be on the road, you know, majority of the time. And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think in a way, this team, as much as Citi Field is a great environment, at least now, I think that until I see the fans handle stress a little bit better, I think Citi Field is a stressful place for them to play sometimes. Forget about the weather and the factor. I think playing on the road, this team might channel some of that energy and actually do better. But we'll see. That's cart before the horse at that point. But earlier in the week, and you heard the booth, you heard Keith talk about how disappointed they were in the attendance, and then Howie was talking about on X how during the 80s it seemed like the place was filled every night during the week. And at times it was. I mean, believe me. I mean, I was there. I was a young fan just learning the game. It was. But when you start to take narratives and then really put cold hard facts to them, where the Mets are attendance-wise, at a little over 29,000. I know they're 17th in the league, and they're behind teams like Milwaukee and Seattle and the Angels and Texas and Toronto. And Toronto's always been a good attendance team, by the way. Don't sneer at that, because they almost represent a whole continent, a whole, you know, all of Canada, a whole country over there. So I'm not ready to say the Mets are drawing flies, you know, spit to Citi Field, but the first thing, before I get to that point about how difficult it is to go to a game for multiple things, we've talked about that. Let me just give you an attendance historical perspective here, because let's first look at numbers to see where this current team is at. Now, historically, the Mets only had big attendance numbers their final three seasons at Citi Field, and one of them 06, where they were having that 86 feel to them, and then their first year at Citi Field, which was not going to be as high as the last 2 years at Shea Stadium because the capacity was less. And then they've got a bump post 86 and 87 and 88, drawing over 3 million fans, averaging about 37, 38,000. And they started to drop off a little bit after 88. And then came the 90s and the strike and all that other stuff. But even in seasons like 2000, Mets averaged about 34,000 fans, only 5,000 fans more than now. And if you look, everybody talks about the heyday, even in the late 60s, early 70s, like 1970, the year after they won the World Series, the Miracle Mets, they averaged a little over 32,000 fans. 1971, 27,000 fans, a shade, almost 28,000 fans. In 1969, they averaged a shade under 27,000 fans a game. And these are the heyday where people are like, wow, the Mets outdrew the Yankees. And if you look at attendance in baseball in the 50s and the 60s and 70s and even the 80s, I mean, attendance in baseball didn't explode until after 1998, really. I mean, that was the next level. And I don't know if that had to do with, you know, the internet, marketing, you know, our society having a little bit more wealth after the 90s and things like that. You know, maybe things change. I mean, it's interesting that when there was less things to distract you, there were less people going to ball games. But also, you know, there was probably less money out there. Now, there's a debate you can make about the amount of money out there and then the cost of things. And who knows if there's more ways for the team to jerry-rig the gate, because I believe in the National League, it was actually people that showed up. So you're not really comparing apples to apples anymore. You're comparing tickets sold to, and I don't know when they changed, but I know that was, that's a thing. So just because 27,000 people showed up to see the Mets in 1971, that's who actually showed up. They could have sold 5,000-6,000 more tickets of, and I don't know the percentage of no-shows and things like that. There's always going to be. So this idea that the place was full throughout the 80s, it wasn't. It was solid attendance, especially post-86. But even in 1986, and I'm looking over here for, you know, the top 10 attendance seasons, not one is 86. Actually, 86, and let me find it here. I have to find 86. 86 didn't even draw as much as 2016 or 2002 or 2000. That's interesting. It was better than 85. But it was almost like, here's this team having this magical season. And, 34,000 on average. But it wasn't like they were drawing, 50,000 a night at that point. So let's just start there. Like, there were great weekend crowds. It was hard to get a ticket for the Mets on the weekend. Big series, forget about it. Whether it's, during the week or on the weekend. You know, Cards come in to play the Mets in September, middle of the week. Yeah, they're going to be packed. You know that. But this idea that they were that attendance is so far off from the historical good Mets teams, it's not. You know, yeah, is 5,000 fans a good amount? That's not an amount that you can't swing one way or the other on any given year, depending on weather, opponents, the economy. And that's a good point I'm going to get to, because at this time now, sports are evolving. And I don't think that the passion for the Mets is going to be indicated by the attendance at the ballpark. And I think a great tweet, which was really a response to Howie Rose, when Howie tweeted, here's what I don't get. Shea Stadium used to get big weeknight September crowds when the Mets were in a pennant race. And the game started an hour later, too. I mean, games were quicker. Yeah, the game started an hour later. I know that Howie was lamenting that. And this account on X, he's been around for a long time, at Good Fundies, wrote some context. And these are good things he put out there. It helped do some research for the show. So if you just go back to 1986, in 1986, the minimum wage was $3.35. The average income was $24,900. Now, I'm not fact-checking this, and there was no reader context on X, so I'm going to take this as gospel. You guys want to fact-check it? Go at it. But This is our back of the paper math. This is our back of the paper bag math economics lesson, right? Courtesy of good fundies on X. He's a smart guy, so I don't doubt that this stuff is correct. The box seats at Shea were $9.50. Upper Deck was $4. A beer was $3. So you go to the game even in 1986. You spend $4 for a ticket. You're spending almost that on a beer. So all right, whatever. Fast forward to 2024, minimum wage is $7.25, so it's doubled. Still stinks, but doubled. Average income is $59,228. Box seats at Citi Field are $100. I think they're more depending on the dynamic pricing, but okay. Upper Deck is $18. Beer is $16. Wealth has doubled. Prices have 5 to 10x. Now, you could argue and say, all right, just go buy the tickets. You know, even if you go and get $20 seats, go with, you know, a couple people, that's $40, another $40 for parking. You go out and you have yourself food and beer. You know, let's say it's a $200. You want to go on the cheap, go to a Met game is $200. And getting into the parking lot and getting out isn't terrible, but when there's a sold-out crowd, it's a pain in the rear end. And public transportation, there's the 7 line, which I guess if you live in the boroughs is not horrible, but I've taken the 7 train when I lived in Brooklyn, and it was a pain in the rear end to get back and forth to a Met game. It was a long ride. A long ride. You want to take the Long Island Railroad, is only the, what is it, the line? It's the, I think it's the Babylon line. That you can take to get there. I haven't done that in a while. I did the Long Island Railroad when they were constructing City Field. What I would do is I'd drive to Little Neck, park in the Little Neck parking lot, and take Little Neck, and then I'd take my car there and drive home because I lived out in Suffolk County for about 20 years. And now I think that parking lot is for commuters only. It was a small parking lot. Now they made it for commuters only. It's not that easy to find parking in Little Neck. It's not that easy to find parking by these train stations. I think that's the Port Washington, maybe the Port Washington line, not Babylon. I can't remember. I haven't taken the South Shore line there to the Citi Field in a long time, so forgive me on that. So when you put all this together, and you know, and he goes on to talk about how people are getting slammed here with insurance rates going up and on cars and healthcare and rent and taxes, and I don't have to tell you, you're living it. I'm not, you know, here to give you an economics lesson. I'm not here to run for office. But putting all this stuff together, I'm sorry. Even if you want to go to one ball game where it's an outdoor venue, who the hell knows what the weather is going to be like, the product that you get, it may be an old, it could be like Friday night's game. It could be a stinkeroo where they lose 12-2, and you've got a 4A player, lifetime minor leaguer on the mound in the ninth inning. In that, you know, Eddie Alvarez. So, you know, you put all that together, you really can't expect big-time attendance every night because that is asking a lot. And I've talked to people who have season tickets and spend big money on season tickets, or people that have spent money on Upper Deck season tickets, and like, it's a lot. And the other thing that I didn't know is that it used to be when you bought the packs, back in the day, and that might be something that Cohen could look into. The packs, like, you know, you used to have a 6-pack and you used to have playoff right tickets to those 6-packs. Maybe not the same seats. And you'd have like, you know, 6 or 7 or 8 or maybe 10 games. I heard they don't do that anymore. So maybe bring back the packs, make them reasonable. You get people to commit to 6 games. You know, give them some perks. You know, not just going on the field before the game and, you know, taking a picture of Grimace. Like, really, like, you know, maybe playoff tickets or something. Because, you know, it was the last few years at Shea Stadium, I think, played into the nostalgia of going to the ballpark, and it was a new era in Mets history. They signed big free agents, you know, Omar, you know, Wright and Reyes probably had something to do with that too, but I think the way they did ticket packages, you know, the Knicks used to do it back then the same way, you get these packs. And I know I'm not a ticket expert. You want to write in, you want to tweet at me, you want to write an email, Mike Silvat, talkingmetspodcast.com, no G, that's fine, you could do that. I'm truly talking about this anecdotally and from my opinion and also from my experience. I don't go to a ton of games anymore. That's not what I need to do for this show. And Good Fundies on X brings it up. The way to consume a game now is better than ever. When I was a kid, up until 1992, I didn't have cable. I've told you this, guys, before. So I had to watch free TV, which was Channel 9 back then the Mets were on, and I listened to a ton of games on the radio. So going to a game was a big deal. The whole environment of the game, getting to, you know, you could feel the energy last night, and I was home. I mean, I got, now I'm sure you're in the ballpark, it's the next level, but I knew that place was pumped. I knew that place was loud. And I'm looking at, and look, it would have been cool to be walking to the subway like I saw some videos this morning on X, and, you know, seeing the there was some music being played and fans chanting "Let's go Mets." Yeah, you get pumped. That gets your adrenaline going. But it's a Sunday night. You have some responsibilities Monday morning. You got to get up early. I got to go do the show. You know, it takes a lot, especially for people. Remember, people are also commuting a lot, whether it be via subway, bus, car. I mean, you are so tired of being on the road and getting in a car, especially if you live in the suburbs, New Jersey, Westchester, Long Island. If you've been commuting for 5 days a week, you know, and the weekends is a little easier because they got great attendance all weekend. But during the week, if you're commuting, you just sometimes want to get home. You're tired because, you know, if you get home at 11 p.m. and you're going to, you're going to take a 6 hour quick pit stop of a nap when you get home, and you get up early again and you're back on the road going back the other way. And if it's a crap game, you're like, what did I do this to myself for? So I think there's a couple of things. And here's the real rub. When it counts, they're going to show up, the fans. They really are. They may not show up in May when it's, you know, the weather's not great and the Pirates are in town and it's Tuesday night. And look, they may not show up sometimes on the weekend on a Saturday afternoon in April or, you know, in the middle of July when, you know, the weather's really nice and you're like, you want to take advantage of listening to the game on your app or your radio at the beach, maybe. But when it's a big game, and forget about the giveaways, the bobbleheads, and all that nonsense. When it's a big game, they're going to be there, Mets fans. And I think the real question, and it goes back to the theme of the show, is, has the tide turned? Has this the feeling of doom and negativity? Every time, and it's funny because people have compared the energy here to better than 2022, which was the season similar to 86 where they were so far ahead. 86, they didn't blow the division. Well, they didn't lose the division. I never say the Mets 2022 blew the division. But they had all these career years, excitement, Scherzer, DeGrom. I mean, they had all these cool things, walk-off wins, just like this year. But this team has reinvigorated the fan base for some reason. And I don't know if it's the goofiness or the grimace in the OMG, if it's the personalities on the club, the expectations, and the fact that they were chasing rather than being chased. But this year just seems different. And it was interesting because I didn't really talk about this in the open. But give Pete Alonso some credit. Here's a guy that's leadership has been questioned. And it was maybe his team meeting at the beginning of the homestand that, you know, and give credit to Mendoza and Stearns for recognizing. Here's Lindor out. The club has an opportunity to do something special. They're at home. They have a stub your toe series. They have the Phillies. And they're like, hey, let's talk about this. Let's put this out there. Let's get the job done. And that's good leadership. And Pete's more of a leader by example, an energy guy. But give him credit. You know, everybody at their time in the season, whether it be J.D. Martinez with the blanket meeting and Pete with his energy meeting or Nimmo or guys like that have all kind of come together and do their thing at the right time. And it's really invigorated the fan base. It really has. So, you know, maybe that will play into a more positive environment, because if they have a playoff game at Citi Field, you know they're going to show up. I mean, the seven line's going to be out there. They're going to show up. Now, are they going to show up? And what I felt last night, it wasn't, and it was a Sunday night crowd, which wasn't bad. There was some more empty seats there than maybe on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. But it wasn't what I call the novena crowd. They're sitting there praying the whole time, please win, please. I hate that. Please win, please win. You know, God has a lot of things to do. He's not interested in helping the Mets win. He's got more important things. If you're going to pray for something more important in your life. Believe me, there's a lot of things you should be praying for if you so believe in that. You know, they're sitting there waiting for the roof to cave in. Every time there's adversity, in the past, you know, they get down 1-0 in the first inning, and the place did get quiet. That's sports. But right away, they amped themselves back up. And give McGill credit. He gets the big out. Yeah, Real Muto hit a shot to center. It was right at somebody. But it wasn't like they were, all right, that's it, game's over. Like, there's been times where this crowd, this place has been packed, and they get down 1-0, or the leadoff hitter gets on, and it's like, all right, that's it, it's over. Like, you can't, that's not baseball. That's not sports. So maybe the worm is turning. Maybe things are changing. And I really believe that the 2024 Mets, I don't know where they're going to end up. I think they're going to make the playoffs. I think we're going to get potentially three wild card games. After that, I don't know. I don't know what to expect. It's not going to be easy. It's a wide open National League. Take a swing at Pick'em this baseball season on Underdog. Over 1 million fans across 33 states got in the game last year by making picks on Underdog. Win up to 1,000 times your money just by choosing higher or lower on your favorite player's stats like strikeouts, total bases, and home runs. I picked the higher on 5.5 strikeouts for Tyler McGill last night and won. Underdog is super easy to play, like I just said, and it's even easier to get started. Go to their easy-to-use mobile app or to underdogfantasy.com. Sign up with promo code TALKING, T-A-L-K-I-N-G. There is a G on this one. And Underdog will give you a mystery special pick to use on your first Pick'em entry, plus a first-time deposit offer of up to $1,000 in bonus cash. That's Underdog Fantasy promo code TALKING, T-A-L-K-I-N-G, to claim your new customer special of a mystery player pick and your deposit offer. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts and Arizona, 19 and older in Alabama and New England, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Void in Colorado. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. In Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP, 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. In New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. Enjoy Underdog Fantasy. Tell them Mike Silva sent you. You know, if for some reason the Braves make it and the Mets make it, it'd be interesting how that plays out. You know, how that plays out. Because the Braves, they may get Riley back at some point in the postseason. I don't know how far out he is. But I think he had something similar to what McNeil has. So that's really where it's at, you know, at this point. I think this team is special. But special in a way where I think it's going to be a franchise-defining, changing moment. I mean, think about it. We're talking about slaying the yoke. Game of Thrones weird stuff. We're talking about the fans turning the worm, the energy of the fans, the positivity of the fans. I mean, we're arguing about not enough fans showing up to the ballpark when the data shows it's not that bad, right? This is a good thing to be. We're talking about the Mets' relevancy here on September the 23rd, where a year ago we were counting the days down to the regular season, and we were just a couple of weeks away from Buck being fired and Stearns looking for a manager and really feeling like this was going to be rebuilding it, which was labeled by the media because they have to label everything. And in reality, it never was that. It was just starting to say, okay, let's contend differently. Let's approach our business differently. That was all. And give him credit. Here we are, the final week of the regular season, and we're talking about historical things the Mets can do that, you know, will change the franchise going forward. Is it dramatic? Maybe. But I really believe it to be true because there is that karma and energy that this team has had that they need to slay the negative energy and continue. The positive energy has been the biggest takeaway. And if it's Jose Iglesias, if it's the goofy promotion of the McDonald's character, I don't know. If it's just the personalities on this team, Lindor. I mean, how many times in team history would Acuna come up or a guy like Acuna come up and actually just fall flat on their face? But no, he's subbing in for an MVP. I mean, that just tells you that things are different here. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to this latest edition of the Talking Mets podcast. Big news, and I announced it already on X, so hopefully you saw it. Anthony Rivera of Subway to Shea and me, I always get that wrong, are going to be doing Twitter spaces after each Mets game against the Braves this week. And it's going to be basically like a post game, but it's going to be an open discussion. And I know Anthony's going to be running it. I'm going to be joining him as a co-host. He's good at this stuff. He's done it, I believe, before. I haven't. And then you guys could come on and not just listen, but we could get you to pop on and have a comment. So if you want to say, Mike, I really don't like you, could you go away? You could say that. I'll be okay with that. And maybe you like Rivera better. He's a more likable guy than me anyway, right? You know? I'm just joking. I love Anthony. And, you know, it'll be something different. I don't know where it's going to go and how it's going to play and if you guys are interested. But really, it was born from when we did our, on his show a couple of Sundays ago, and he does those live video casts. We really saw a couple hundred people watch live. Now, I'm not a live product. So I haven't done live product since the Blog Talk Radio days. It's been a long time. And I said to him, we were talking, I'm like, let's try something different to promote the brands, bring some funds. Ultimately, it's about promoting our brands. Yeah, we make a few bucks, me and him, you know, just to cover costs here. But ultimately, it's about providing you something different that we feel is different than some of the other content creators out there, that is different than what the mainstream's providing you. And we want to enjoy this run, whatever this run turns out to be with you guys. So I hope you join us. If you're not a member of X, you could always sign up. I get nothing for that. And we're hoping to see you there. And we'll see how it works out. So, you know, continue to interact between now and then to Anthony at Subway to Shea and at Mike's, at Talking Mets No G. I almost put the old Mike Silva Media out there. At Talking Mets No G on X. So, anyway, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to this latest edition of the Talking Mets Podcast. You can check me out all the time at thetalkingmetspodcast.com. You get me on X, as I said, Talking Mets No G, and on your favorite podcasting service, Apple, Spotify, pretty much whatever podcasting service you desire. If you want to interact with me, Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com. No G. Mike Silva at talkingmetspodcast.com. You can get me on Instagram, Talking Mets No G. And don't forget the newsletter. Why don't you sign up? Substack.com/@TalkingMetsNoG. And I want to thank the good folks of the Fansided Podcasting Network for supporting this show. I'm your host, Mike Silva. Enjoy the rest of your day off. Get ready for some big-time baseball this week. We'll be back with more Talking Mets throughout the week. Till then, take care, everybody.